So again, we are reminded that we are stewards of his gifts. In doing so, if we do what the scripture says here, if people find themselves rich or in abundance, if they give and they're generous and they're being led of the Spirit, then they are laying up treasure in heaven, and God will reward all the good done by their giving at the resurrection of the just. Remember, Jesus said to lay up treasure in heaven. He said, do not lay it up on earth. He was saying there, do not be preoccupied with the storing up for money's sake. Again, all of the teachings teach in favor of having and having enough and then having to give and help the body of Christ in other needs. There is no teaching that people can self-indulge, pamper themselves, and live in extreme luxury and then throw their little crumbs to the body of Christ and think they're doing God a favor. These are covetous idolaters whose end is destruction. So in the general overall teaching of Christ and the apostles concerning riches, there was mainly warnings against desiring to be rich, for it placed the Christian in a path of many temptations. When you go to the several scriptures used by the apostles, and any time it refers to riches and abundance for the Christian, in every case without exception, there is a warning given. Never once is there an encouragement. See, in general, then, the Word of God is saying that Christians should not seek money, should not make it an object to seek, and should not desire to be rich and wealthy. And he gave the simple reason. Again, it opens these people up to many temptations otherwise they would not be opening up to. See, a person that does not have this to contend with, they are forced to trust God more from day to day and week to week. They are called to trust the Lord. They do not put their trust in what they have acquired. See, that's why he deals with this. And many of these same people who are pursuing wealth and riches, they are not wise and godly in the state that they're in. They are not generous. They do not help others. Money is something to be hoarded. Money is something for self-indulgence. And so they want more. But as the scripture would say in Jeremiah, if you have run with the foot soldiers and you can't win against them, how shall you contend against the horsemen and the chariots? The implication is you cannot do it. If you cannot handle finances and money and be trusted with it now, and if you are not wise and doing what God wants now, you have no business pursuing more because you are asking for something deadly. Again, just very simple. In comparison, you don't have the strength to beat off a mad little chihuahua. You're not going to be able to handle a crazed St. Bernard. It's just not going to happen. So in every instance we find in the epistles, we do not find one encouragement to seek wealth and monies and abundance. But again, it was not forbidden. And again, he tells us for those few who find themselves in that slot by providence, maybe they inherited money, their occupation puts them in a position of making lots of money, then simply then they have to recognize that as not only a blessing, but a cross, and that God is going to hold them accountable as stewards of his grace. So to seek to be content in what state we are in, having little or having much, then with God, again, this is possible, for he will strengthen us. If we are content, then covetousness cannot overtake us and cause our spiritual ruin. But again, many who desire things, first of all, they have not pursued God in the matter. First of all, they're often not interested in God's view in the matter. So they are not praying according to the will of God. For in many, God would instruct them, leave it alone. Walk and live your life and trust me. And again, in his providences, as he sees fit to increase or so forth, that's his business. But it is no proof of anyone's spiritual state. If at all, in most cases, it's a proof of their unspiritual state. Go back to Laodicea and read it often, and you find out that these were people that once had the lampstand and that were once Christians, And look how far they had regressed because of having a superabundance of things. Okay? So let's just remind ourselves. And also one of the other churches that Christ had no fault or anything negative say against, he said, you're in deep poverty. You're at the basics. He said, but you're rich. Now see, that blows the theory of many of these prosperity teachers, because God called them the exact opposite, and the rich ones and financial things, he called them poor and naked. And that's the evaluation of the Son of God. And if you want to take issue with him, you tamper with your soul, is what you do. So again, in closing, let us allow God to maintain our lot, giving us grace to do his will, using the world's goods to promote the spiritual kingdom, and not allowing the world's things to possess us. Father, give us wisdom in this corrupt age we live in this greasy grace, licensed to sin era, when people are encouraged in their sins and given false assurances that they're saved when they're not, or when they've lost their salvation and they're too deceived to know they've been cut off from the branch. And with all of the prosperity and materialistic teachings out there, people want to live like the world. They want to have the best of both realms, and the scripture does not teach this, Lord. They straddle the fence, as Jesus said. They're not hot or cold. They're not all the way in with him, and they're not all the way out. And it appears that the Lord, that you would prefer they do one or the other. But those who try to straddle the fence, you count them as cold. They make you sick to your stomach, and you wish to separate from them if there will not be quick repentance and a deliverance from their greed and their covetousness. Give us wisdom, Lord, to understand contentment and to daily guard our hearts against greed and covetousness, or placing our security in what we have and what we have acquired. In Jesus' name, amen.